the U.S. Congress chides Europe for limiting data sharing. NTSB investigates a near miss at O'Hare. And a U.S. lawmaker removes an obstruction to FAA funding. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, May 23, 2011. The U.S. Senate has cleared a resolution chastising our partners in Europe for efforts there to weaken an existing data-sharing agreement. The resolution was introduced by Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee Chairman Joe Lieberman, a Connecticut independent, and Ranking Minority Member Susan Collins, a Maine Republican. The resolution stresses the value of sharing PNR, or passenger name recognition data, to pre-screen international travelers and inform terror investigations, a tactic the U.S. says contributed to the arrests of Faisal Shahzad, the Times Square bomber, and David Headley, a planner of the Mumbai attack. A similar resolution has been introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives. Last September, the European Commission said its future PNR agreements would include restrictions on the means and frequency of data sharing, limitations on how long data could be stored, and requirements that EU citizens be given administrative and judicial redress by other countries. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board is investigating an air traffic control incident involving two regional jets that occurred last week at Chicago O'Hare International Airport. At about 9:35 a.m. Central Time on Monday, ExpressJet Airlines Flight 6075, an Embraer ERJ-145, was cleared for takeoff on runway 32 left en route to Buffalo, New York. SkyWest Airlines, Flight 6958, a Canadair CRJ-200 arriving at O'Hare from Muskegon, Michigan, was cleared to land on runway 9 right. Well, aircraft approaching 9 right crossed 32 left at low altitude before landing. Because of the timing, the SkyWest flight nearly overflew the departing ExpressJet flight. A supervisor on duty in the tower noticed the conflict and instructed the controller handling the SkyWest flight to direct a go-around. The SkyWest pilot complied and landed a few minutes later. There were no injuries or damage to either aircraft, but preliminary radar information indicates the two planes came within 225 feet vertically and 480 feet laterally. Congressman Bill Schuster, a Pennsylvania Republican, said Friday he has withdrawn his amendment to FAA reauthorization in an effort to avoid further delays in long-term FAA funding. Quote, "The purpose of my amendment is to increase safety across the board and to improve the rulemaking process at the FAA. I am dedicated to one level of safety and continue to strive to keep our transportation industry safe and economically viable. However, after 4 years of delay and 18 short-term extensions, it is vital that Congress pass the long-overdue FAA reauthorization bill. It is apparent that the inclusion of my amendment in the FAA bill may slow down conference negotiations and delay the adoption of this critical legislation," unquote. Schuster's amendment would have required an analysis of different aviation industry segments and the tailoring of future regulations to industry segments where appropriate. The FAA dedicated a new airport traffic control tower for Long Island MacArthur Airport Friday that will replace one that has served the airport since 1963. At 158 feet, the new tower is more than 50 feet taller than the old one, giving controllers a better view of airport operations. It also includes the latest in voice communication technology to communicate with pilots. The facility also has the most advanced equipment to record air traffic communications, state-of-the-art heating and cooling systems, and fire protection, security, power distribution, and grounding systems. The total cost to design, equip, and construct the new tower was about $20 million. Viking Air Limited of Sydney, BC, has received Transport Canada's final production approval for the manufacture of the Series 400 Twin Otter. Viking says the first 5 aircraft have already been completed, and another 10 are in final assembly. The manufacturing certificate is an approval to manufacture duplicate products under the Transport Canada type design, allowing Viking to issue airworthiness certificates for aircraft produced under its revised manufacturing approval. The Viking Twin Otter has received type approval from both Transport Canada and the European Aviation Safety Agency. Viking launched the new DHC-6 Twin Otter Series 400 production program in 2007 and currently has a production backlog estimated at over $300 million through 2014. Up next on ANN, Honeywell reports new engine milestones. Cessna says the Citation is a hit in Russia. And the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds fly on biofuel. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from May 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. Honeywell reports the FAA has certified its HTF-7250G turbofan engine, which has been selected to power Gulfstream's new G250 super midsize business jet. The new engine is based on the proven HTF-7000. The 7000 family was introduced in 2003 and has reached 1 million hours of operation on the fleet with more than 620 engines in service. Production of the 7250G is being done at Honeywell's facility adjacent to Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport in Arizona. Honeywell also reports a flight testing milestone on what it says is its most energy-efficient engine ever, the HTF-7500E, also based on the 7000. The engine powering Embraer's Legacy Series 450 and 500 business jets has completed about 20 flights and more than 140 test hours on Honeywell's Boeing 757 flying testbed. Honeywell says the engine is on track to certify in 2012 on the Embraer platforms. Cessna is reporting great success for two Citation jets now flying with Jet Alliance East, a charter operator in Russia. Trevor Esling, Cessna's VP for International Sales, observed, quote, Jet Alliance East launched operations in November of 2010, basing a new Citation CJ3 and a Citation Sovereign at Moscow Sheremetyevo International Airport. The move marked the first commercial operation of Cessna aircraft in Russia. We're delighted, but not surprised, to report the Citations are proving very popular in the Russian charter market and ideal for the challenging weather conditions. Both aircraft have operated without any problems in the extreme sub-zero temperatures of Western Siberia, for example, unquote. Esling said Jet Alliance East has been a great success so far, with monthly charter utilization of around 70 to 80 hours for each of the aircraft, with discussion underway to add new Citations to the fleet as soon as possible. The Russian air carrier UT Air has taken delivery of its first ATR-72-500, which is also the first one of the type to be operating in Russia. UT Air and ATR recently announced an order for 20 aircraft, estimated at $426 million U.S. The 19 remaining planes will be delivered this year and next. The delivery of these new 70-seat jets will bring the number of ATR aircraft operated by UT Air to 37. That makes it the largest operator of ATR aircraft in Europe. The UT Air network includes nearly 40 Russian and international destinations. Its territory extends from the Baltic states to eastern Siberia and from the far north of Russia to south Ukraine. With the acquisition of the new ATR aircraft, UT Air says it is also significantly opening up its route network to access new areas both domestically and internationally. Rockwell Collins announced Thursday its AHS 4000 Attitude and Reference Heading System is now certified on the Bombardier CRJ-1000 next-gen aircraft. The new AHARS features a solid-state gyro-based design that's not subject to magnetic abnormalities associated with flux valves and eliminates the need to perform compass swings. The latest-generation embedded sensors ensure low power consumption and high reliability, resulting in a 50% improvement in mean time between failure compared to previous-generation systems. The AHS 4000 is also certified and available as an aftermarket upgrade for CRJ-700 and the CRJ-900. Embraer and APG, Aircraft Performance Group, have partnered to develop an iPreflight application for the Phenom 100 and Phenom 300 executive jets, running on the Apple iPad. The software uses performance data that's been certified and approved by the certification authorities of Brazil, the U.S., and Europe. The application will be available from the Apple App Store and requires a subscription directly with APG, for which there's an initial free trial period. The app will optimize aircraft payload for each runway, calculate takeoff performance based on APG's airport database of runways and obstacles, access NOTAMs and METARs of all airports on the route under consideration, as well as maps and charts, download and store approach charts and airport diagrams, and read updated weather information. And finally today, the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds did something over the weekend that no other U.S. military demo team has done. Their performance at the Joint Services Open House at Joint Base Andrews in the Washington, D.C. area was accomplished burning a camelina-based hydro-treated biofuel. The cost savings would be significant if the Air Force could eliminate dependence on petroleum-based JP-8, but it's also about a more environmentally sensitive image. Terry Yonkers, the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Installations, Environment, and Logistics, commented, quote, "We are changing the culture of the Air Force, from our operators to every airman that's out there turning lights off and being conscious about energy," unquote. "We've been promised that the biofuel shows will be just as exciting as the JP-8 shows. The service continues to test alternative fuels, including those derived from plants, animal fats, and even various waste oils and greases. Air shows would love that last one. If used oil from fast food deep fryers makes a low pass by the Thunderbird smell like French fries, there could be a run on the concession stands after the performance." That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves explains his decision to publicly renounce his membership in AOPA. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.